everybody. Thanks for listening to a Voice in the Wilderness podcast with Skipper here. Today, I got a special guest for the ladies. Shelby McCall, you are from?
Lafayette County, big old city of Mayo.
Mayo. Now, I just saw an article about a year ago where there was a mayonnaise company that came in and changed y'all's name for a day or something. What was that all about?
Oh, so Miracle Whip did this big promotional thing where they came in and changed the name of our town to Miracle Whip. They said the people of Mayo were way too interesting to be called boring old Mayo, and it was a big promotional thing. There was like on the New York Times, I think. It was this crazy big ordeal. Super cool, and you know, of course, they pulled the little sticker off the water tower. Back to boring old Mayo, but you know, it's a great place to be from.
Well, I love that little town. You know, I love the Suwannee River. We live on the Suwannee River. The ministry kind of is almost centralized around that river. And to me, one of the most beautiful places on the river is in that area of Lafayette. Every year we do a spring hop trip where we'll take and start out at Lafayette Blue Springs, and we'll go down all the way down to Little River. Mm-hmm. So we stop by, I think like there's 30 springs or something like that in that trip. And we just stop by all these springs throughout the weekend. It's awesome. I mean, it'll wear you out. It's about 35 miles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. By water, which is a pretty good, healthy, you know, like hike in a canoe. So I met you. You're the cheer coach at Dixie County High School.
Yes, sir.
And I met you just recently. And I was looking at your Instagram page. And, man, you have had a huge amount of success in pageants.
Yes, sir.
How many crowns have you one.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so my national titles, I was Miss United States Agriculture. I was the National Forestry Queen, Florida Forestry Queen. I was Miss Heart of the USA. I mean, you name it. I've won over $40,000 in pageant scholarships. It's more than paid for my graduate school and my bachelor's. And I graduated all the way through a master's in graduate school debt-free because of pageants. And, you know, there a lot of people think they're superficial, but we have a whole curio cabinet in my house full of crowns. But there's something with meaning. I grew up on a six-generation family farm, and we grow timber, and we're in the agricultural industry. So they have important meetings to me personally that I'm glad to advocate for and encourage other young women to pursue their passions through it as well.
That is awesome. I mean, so how many acres are you growing?
We have 1,200 acres our family farm does, and we grow predominantly timber / longleaf pine, and I raise show cattle, and it's a different, little bit different world. So with the show cattle, they're the fluffy cows, of course. They was a big thing on Facebook a few years ago and Instagram, where they're the long-haired cattle, and timber's mainly what we do. And there was an article about us in the Riverbend News, and it was like from pageant shoes to work boots was like the name of the article. So it was really kind of cool to encourage young women to break that glass ceiling and be a part of the agricultural industry if that's what their family does, and play an active role in being there and being for the family.
Well, you know, we are the FCA Outdoor Ministry, so if you guys have any problem with pestilence of turkeys or deer on this land, you know, we will help you out with that, you know.
Oh yeah, we look forward to bow season. Yeah. Every year. Yeah. Out of the house.
I bet you do. So you've been in this, you know, and so my wife has been involved a little bit in pageants, and, you know, she's with dance and all that kind of stuff. And I was telling her one of the things that really amazed me when I met you was that seems like that whole world of being in pageants and being around that kind of world all the time seems a little bit difficult. And here you are, a born again Christian, love the Lord. That's like number one on your list. And so I just kind of wanted to hear, you know, with the platform that the Lord has given you in this area, how, you know, tell us a little bit about how that works in this world that you're in.
Well, it's a completely different world. I mean, you go from being raised in a Christian home and loving the Lord and seeing all this, and then you go to these pageants, which, I mean, they have a good, they are scholarship program, with my fingers in quotation marks. That's really what they say they are. But a lot of times behind the scenes, there's a lot of the cattiness. There's a lot of the bickering and bitterness. But, you know, if you let your light shine for the Lord, that comes first. I mean, you're a pot, you're pouring that water into other people. You can plant those seeds there. And I believe, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice, and you let that shine through everything you do and the decisions that you make and the dresses that you pick and the things that you speak about. That really comes through. And whenever I was competing in pageants, whether it was an agricultural pageant or a typical beauty pageant, one of the things I always try to promote was, I lost my dad when I was in high school. The day before I turned 16, I buried my father from cancer. And one of the programs that I believe are, it's incredibly important, and something that I try to do, is mentoring children who have lost a parent to cancer. And a lot of times, kids can be resentful. They can ask God, why did this happen to me? Why is it me? Why? And you have 1,000 questions. And a lot of times you see these kids turn from the Lord and change their viewpoint on Christianity. But if we can plant those seeds in those kids through the program, my platform of mentoring children who have lost a parent to cancer, then we're doing something, and we're doing something productive that does shine a light on Jesus and away from the rhinestones and away from the glitz and the glamour that is superficial, that comes with the pageantry. But it helped me provide a platform to encourage those kids to follow through with their ambition, their goals, and what they want out of life.
You know, you talk about your dad, because it's so interesting, because when I came to Dixie County to see some of the students, and I came to meet you and talk to you about camp. And then I met your mom prior to our meeting, and she shared the story about your dad with me.
Oh, goodness.
Before I met you. And my father passed when I was 2. And
I'm sorry.
But this is what I want to ask you about, that, because a lot of the young women that Crystal and I will minister to, a lot of the young women that are having difficult times in their life right now come from situations where their relationship with their dad is absent or not good. And so with you being just 16 years old when the Lord took your father to be with him, how did you navigate the absence of that relationship as a teenage girl, as a Christian?
So my dad was really the backbone of the farm, and the backbone of, you know, like I adored my dad. My mom, I'm a mom made over, like, with just all my girly things I love to do. But, like, I get my love of agriculture and being outside from my dad. And a lot of the time, you know, that was where we prayed. We did our Bible study. Like, we were outside all the time. But it wasn't just hunting or fishing. We never just hunted or fishing. You were building that relationship. We were talking about God, talking about life, talking about the goals. And if I kept that at the forefront of, like, what he wanted for me, and kept encouraging me to go through with that versus just stopping, because you see a lot of these kids that go through traumatic events, especially the young ladies who adore their dads like I did, that it's difficult. And the pageants allow me that opportunity to encourage other young women to continue to follow through when their parents die of cancer or whatever traumatic event goes on in their life. The pageants provide me that access to talk with these young ladies, to follow through with their dreams and their ambitions, and not let such terrible events make them question their faith, because everything does happen for a reason. And I do believe, you know, my father's in a better place. He was a Christian man. He loved the Lord, and he was the sheriff of our county for years, and he encouraged other kids to do the same thing, to follow through with their faith, even through arrest or through pain and through addiction. He encouraged those people to follow through with their faith and ask for forgiveness and follow what God truly wants for their lives.
You know, when I listen to you, it seems to me like that there was a legacy that was left.
Absolutely. And it's not just the legacy of farming and legacy of agriculture. It's the legacy of the love of the Lord. And, you know, I'm a teacher, and I try to sow into my kids as much as I can and plant those seeds and encourage them to love the Lord, because at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. And my dad, you know, we were actually cleaning up my room yesterday, and we found my application for Coca-Cola scholarship, which was a scholarship I won, those academic thing. And one of the things we found in there was, some roots run deep and other roots run deeper. Some only skim the surface and some go on for miles. And I'm grateful that I have pine tree roots that are straight tap roots down in that soil that allow me to know that I'm always going to have Jesus on my side, no matter what goes on and no matter where life leads me.
Yeah, I tell you, I tell people a lot of times when they ask me, you know, because some people will look at a situation like we've been through, losing a parent, and it's almost like the world tells them, you can use that as an excuse to do X, Y, Z, whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people that my dad, when I ran for mayor one time in Lake City. I laugh. If you don't laugh about that, because I thank God all the time I didn't win. But when I was going around and knocking on doors, you know, trying to get people to vote for me, there was a lot of those people that I met that knew my dad well.
Absolutely. Like in Lafayette County, I'm Little Carson a lot of the time. My middle name is Carson, but a lot of people know me as Little Carson. So it's kind of cool, because I mean, my dad loved people, and he loved the Lord, but he loved people. And all the time during when he was sheriff, like he, you could see that connective energy that he had with people. Like people just came to him, and I'm grateful that I got that trait from him, but he still carried it with a humility and a humbleness that I'm just impressed with, that I hope to attain and to continue to have for my children in the future.
It's awesome. You know, when I would talk to people about my dad, and I kind of got to know my dad through other people.
Absolutely.
Because I was so young. And I remember, you know, there was a little thing in the newspaper one time, and it was like, you know, send in a letter about the best dad because it's Father's Day. And I wanted to send, I never did this, but I wanted to send a letter and then talk about, you know, nominate my dad. And because my dad was the kind of man that lived a life that was so good and had so many people loved him because of the way that he was, that it was almost like his legacy was enough to make me want to be a better man. It was almost, his legacy almost was enough to help raise me and give me that father figure that I needed in my life, even though he physically wasn't there. And that's kind of what I'm hearing from you, is that, you know, your dad lived a life, it seems to me, that had that same quality, to where even after he leaves this earth, it continues to live on through you because of the influence it had on you.
Well, thank you. Yes. And I absolutely believe that. Like, so with the pageant side of it, my dad was in very bad shape, but I registered for this pageant, Miss Crystal River. I'd registered for it, and he was like, this was my first pageant trying to get scholarship money. And so he was like, Shelby, just go and do it. You don't have to sit here with me right now. Like, I'd rather you go ahead and do this, continue to live your life, because, you know, you're going to have to do this. And he wasn't to the point he was going to pass it. He was having some serious complications with his cancer and when he was in the hospital. So I went to this pageant, and I was a cowgirl. Like I showed cattle. I was rough for a little bit. And then, you know, my mom refined me some, and she through all the etiquette classes and the pageant dresses and everything. And then he was like, Shelby, you need to go do this. You need to go do this. And so I went and I did it, and I won that thing. And I came in the hospital. I showed my daddy that crown. He was like, Shelby, you actually did it. And so he encouraged me kind of to keep on doing these pageants. And I'm really grateful that he did, because if I look back where I am now or where I would have been without him, I mean, it's probably two totally different atmospheres.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, and, you know, the theme I'm getting in my mind as we and you kind of talk about this is, you know, we talk about, as Christians, we talk about, it's not about what we have now. It's about what we can leave when we're gone.
Absolutely.
And that legacy that we're talking about with our dads, you know, actually I had a lady tell me the other day that she went to church with my dad when he was here. And I was like, you know, that's the first time I'd ever had anybody tell me. I knew he went to church, but I'd never met anybody that'd been in church with him,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so that was kind of interesting to me. And so you get a chance sometimes to you know, hear these stories about your dad. But, man, it just really is like impressing into my mind the importance of leaving a legacy for your children, especially a faith legacy, that they can carry on into their family. And I know you're still young, and I don't think you're married yet.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
But one day, hopefully, you know, you'll be able to pass that into your kids. And now, do you have any siblings?
I'm an only child.
Are you?
Yes, sir. That was like double the work on the farm, so.
Well, I lived on a farm with my sister and her husband for about a year.
Yes.
And I know it's work, work, and more work, and then some more work.
Yes, always. Yeah.
So, but I just wanted to say, you know, just from a person that goes out to the schools, thank you for what you're doing. You know, thank you for being a godly example to these young women in your community, and not just in your community. You've been able to extend that out quite a ways through the pageant world and the communities and the different crowns that you've held. But thank you for being a godly leader, because it seems to me like more and more our country's just unraveling morally and spiritually. And we are kind of becoming a rare breed almost in the mm-hmm. Christian world. And so you can't be praised enough for standing up, because me and my wife, we do marriage counseling, and we work with couples and stuff. And I can tell you, I told a couple last night, I said, I've never counseled a couple that prays together every day.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that a crazy stat?
That's absolutely crazy. I didn't know.
Never have I counseled a couple that prays together every night. And so when you teach your girls that God comes first and mm-hmm. that's the foundation of their life, that's going to be one of those things that help them stay married, be good parents, live a life that's productive for your community, and leave a legacy like our parents did for us.
Well, thank you. I really try to impress upon the girls that, you know, cheerleading's going to pass. You're most likely not going to come on to be a professional cheerleader, what really matters is the connections that you're making, the friendships that you're building, and learning how to have that character and love others that you're getting from cheerleading, and have a spirit that encourages other young women. That's what cheerleading is all about to me. And having the opportunity to open doors into their faith, and having opportunity to, you know, sow those seeds, whether or not I'm the one who can get them into eternity and help them find Jesus, I'm planting a seed. And, you know, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah. So you guys are going to go on a leadership camp trip with us.
We're super excited.
And last year, I was telling you guys off the air, I want to share it with everybody on the podcast, but last year, when we took our first girls group on the trip, it was a volleyball team out of Valdosta, and man, we got into a seriously bad rainstorm. I'm talking about, I mean, I was like thinking they were going to want to go home. It was so bad. I mean, it was, you couldn't see, you know, a good 10 yards in front of you. It was bad.
Oh,
it was
gosh. Bad.
Yeah, it was real. And so I'm thinking, these girls are going, you know, cause this, you know, that's the school that came with me. They're a little bit more high income, kind of, you know, girly girls, and not like Dixie County where they come from the woods. It wasn't like that. This was city girls. And I look over and there's a canoe coming by with two girls in it, and they've got their paddles held up in the air, and they're just going, "This is awesome. This is the coolest thing ever." And I was thinking, oh my gosh, they are like embracing it. And so at the end of the camp, we asked them to kind of write an exit letter of what they thought of the experience. And every girl but one talked about the rainstorm and how cool it was to go through that. And what they did was they took that whole concept of learning how to love things when it ain't good, you know, when things aren't good, to stay positive.
Mm-hmm.
And they took that into their whole season and wound up playing for the state championship.
That's awesome. I hope we have the same kind of luck going into it.
Yeah. So it's really to me, I was telling you off the air that the girls are just so awesome to work with, because they really, you know, when you start talking about studying the Bible and you, they're just so open to it. They're just so open to growing in their faith. And you know, so I appreciate you being willing to do this, because it is a really unique event, but our goal is to make sure that they come out of this with deep roots, like you're talking about, in who they are in Christ, so that they can carry this into their life as they graduate and start a family and start working and all that kind of stuff. We want to make sure they have a good foundation to take off with. And so thank you for bringing them, because I'm excited about that. You know, I'll mainly be doing most of the guiding. I won't be doing a whole lot of, I'll be cooking. We'll be,
you're not going to teach them how to do toe touch or anything.
When I was younger, I could do a toe touch. I've got video evidence, because my wife's been teaching studio, and we had a father daughter dance, and we had to have one little like thing we did at the end as a father.
Oh,
and I actually did a toe touch, man. And my daughter's like, wow. But I can't, that was back before, you know, I got older. So, but no, thank you so much for what you're doing, man. Thank you for carrying on the legacy of your father.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for being a woman of God. Thank you for being a leader in your community. And I just look forward to spending more time ministering in the Dixie County area, because I'm going to tell you, you guys get it.
I'm grateful to work in a school district like I work in, too. You can walk in on our doors and see "In God We Trust." And, you know, that is our state motto that is encouraging to others. But we really mean it. We trust in the Lord. And almost all of our teachers are born-again Christians who love these kids, who want to pour into these kids. And that's part of what keeps me coming back and coaching cheerleading. Like, I have the opportunity to pour into these girls, not just the skills, not just how to tumble, not just how to dance, not just how to do a cheer on the sidelines, but how to be young women of God and how to display themselves in a manner that, you know, is good representation of the Lord and a good representation of themselves that they can look back on in 20 years and like, goodness, I'm grateful that I had that opportunity to build with this young, with our coach that we had, with Coach Shelby. And so, you know, I'm grateful for it. And I've learned a lot from my girls too. I've learned, you know, you pray for patience, God's going to give you a chance to build some. And I've built my patience through these young ladies, and I'm grateful for them. And I really am glad to have had the opportunity to have coached as long as I have. And I'm looking forward to doing it for several years in the future.
Well, just let me tell you, as a guy that's coached for a long time, I've been in and out of coaching since I think it was 1990. And I've coached at different levels, high school, little league, all kind of stuff. And I've only been born again since 2008. But let me just tell you, as a guy that's been down this road a little bit longer as a coach, there's going to be days where these girls come back to you after they're getting into life, and they're going to look at you and they're going to thank you. And they're going to say this. So. And they're going to say, I wish I'd have listened to you, coach.
Oh, goodness. I hope so. That would be like the best day ever. My goodness.
But those seeds that you're sowing, they're going to come back to them. You know, I tell people all the time, that's our job. Mine and your job is to make sure that we cast that seed. And then when it's time to take root, they'll know where to turn. When the bottom drops out in life, they've heard where to turn because of our faithfulness to tell them. And they're going to turn. They'll turn. And then they'll eventually come back and they'll say, if it wouldn't have been for my relationship with you, coach, I'm not sure I would have known. And it's so rewarding because I've seen kids that when I coached them, I was like, man, those kids are horrible. They're bad. And I've had them come back to me and just say, and have a totally different mentality than they had when I had them as a player. And they come back and they're just, they love the Lord. They're leading their families in a godly way. You're just like, man, life teaches such valuable lessons that you want to teach them, mm-hmm. but they just aren't ready to listen sometimes. But life, they can't ignore it.
Absolutely. I kind of think of it like, you know, growing trees, this is going to be a tree analogy, but, you know, when you're planting pines, you're doing a little seedling, and you put them in the ground, they go in there. Sometimes it takes a dibble to straighten the roots up. And, you know, life can be that dibble, but, you know, we're doing our job. We're putting those pines in the ground, you know, we're praying the Lord for rain. And I think a lot of the times kids are like that too. You put them, you encourage them and you put the seedling in the ground, like life can straighten them out with a dibble sometimes, but you don't have to pray for the Lord for rain. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, the rain can be other Christians and other people encouraging them because, you know, sometimes coaches have that opportunity to really build with these kids more so than their parents do. And I've had the opportunity to do the same thing with the pageant world, being the National Forester Queen of Mission United States Agriculture, especially. I had tons of girls that looked up to me and either other farmers that, you know, I was able to impress upon them that God loves them, and that may just be some rain they needed to help them really take root and dig that tap down further into the ground.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, when I think about, you know, you doing that and you talking about the tree analogy, man, I'm going to tell you, I'm just in my mind, I'm just thinking, because I got two daughters, I'm just thinking, man, we need more ladies like you leading in our culture because there's so much negativity out there with the people that are, you know, that are famous. And man, I don't understand why it is that people like you are not more famous than a singer, because you have so much more positive to offer the world. But the reality of it is that, you know, God, for some reason, the way that he spreads the gospel is in a different way than we see things in the world. It's not always going to be through a famous person. It's going to be by a faithful person.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was grateful whenever I was Mission United States Agriculture and National Forestry Queen. I was on radio stations and TV stations all across the country. And in those interviews, I always made sure that I had the opportunity to reference the Lord in some way, whether it's thanking him for the rain we just had, which jacked the timber prices up, or whatever right. It was, or, you know, the club calf industry really starting to boom, whatever it is, I always try to make a point to thank the Lord for it. And that crown gave me that opportunity for a year. And now that it's over with, you know, that platform's kind of gone away a little bit. Now people do come back to me as a former national queen, but it's not the same as it was then. And young ladies who have the opportunity to carry these titles and have that attention brought back to them to honor the Lord and to show the Lord that you love them, they need to take that opportunity and seize that opportunity every chance they get. And I tell my cheerleaders, like, you are important in your county. In Dixie County, people look up to you. You're a role model. You are representative of Dixie County High School. Take that opportunity and really shine with it. You know, we can only do so much. We can only reach as many people as we can reach. But if we make it a daily effort to water and to pour out into these kids and show the light in the Lord, we've done our part.
Amen. Well, I love what you're doing. I love working with your principal. I love working with your superintendent. I love what's going on in your county. And I can tell you, I tell you one guy that's up in heaven right now that's looking down and he's very happy is Joe Anderson. I had a chance when I used to go out there and volunteer at camp, mm-hmm. at Camp Anderson. And Joe Anderson, in the end of his life, had a very, very big passion for evangelism and the gospel and people finding their way to Christ. And he put a lot of what God entrusted to him into ministry. And I know he's looking down and he's very proud of what's going on in the Dixie County area, because there's a lot of leadership mm-hmm. that get it.
Yes, we're on fire for the Lord down there in Dixie, and I'm grateful for it. You know, these kids, they pray before they hold hands around that sign right before that football game, and they pray. And, you know, we're doing something right down there if our young'uns voluntarily pray and love the Lord with the fire that they do. And they will they will. And I'm grateful for that, because like I said, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. And if we've done that in Dixie County, right, thank the Lord for it.
Yeah. I tell you what, man, I wished I would have had somebody like you in my life when I was going through high school. It would have saved a lot of the problems.
Oh goodness.
Yeah. I didn't hear this kind of stuff when I was coming up in high school, and I didn't have that kind of, I had great coaches. Mm-hmm. I had great football coaches that really, they loved me, mm-hmm. but they didn't love the Lord. They didn't tell me about Jesus. They didn't tell me about God's plan for my life. I didn't know anything. I thought, hey, let me just chase what the world has for me. I wish somebody would have told me, hey, God's got a plan. Chase it.
And I mean, we try to teach these girls to be modest. Like, we try to teach these girls how to be ladies too. That's important to me. Like, teaching these girls how to carry their own, how to have etiquette, but still be able to be strong, confident, independent women that can go out into this world and be successful in whatever route they go into. And that's important. Like, I have very strict standards when it comes to dress code and how they carry themselves in school with that uniform on. It matters to me. And so we spend a lot of time talking about that, you know, how we're going to act, how we're going to carry ourselves as young, proper ladies. Yeah. So
I'm telling you, that's needed, because I can tell you there's, you know, I hadn't watched this TV show, but I was scrolling through, I think Netflix or something. And I saw something about how young women are making money on the internet with something. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, man, I know that can't be good. Whatever that is, it can't be good. And because there's only one reason that people are going to be looking at teenage girls, whatever.
Yeah, and I'm grateful that, you know, God's brought some great girls together that have, you know, they love the Lord. They'll have Bible studies. They'll talk about the Lord. They'll pray together. If one of them's having a hard day, they'll pray together. And, you know, I'm grateful to have a bunch of girls that God has sent to be the leaders in that school come together and really encourage one another, because they genuinely, it's a sisterhood there. And I'm grateful to have to coach a squad that they get along so well. Their parents are supportive. Like, you don't hear about, you know, cheerleading as being an easy sport to coach, because it is a very difficult sport. There's a lot of technical things they have to learn, how to be safe, how to, you know, how to tumble and flip and jump and all that without spraining an ankle, doing all that stuff. But they're very receptive to learning. But most importantly, like, if one of them has a bad day, they're not going to say, oh, you need to straighten up. Oh, you need to get this right because the coach is going to make us run. No, they know that I'm not going to make them run, because, you know, I encourage the girls. We do cardio workouts, but we encourage one another. It's not going to be a tear down, break apart, make them feel bad about what they did. No. It's a learning experience that they have the opportunity to grow and to learn together.
You know, isn't it better? You know, I look at the Duck Dynasty guys, their family, and the way they've been, you know, on television, and way people have seen the positive family. And, you know, here you're talking about how your girls support each other. And I'm thinking, man, life is so much better when you do it God's way.
It is. Like, we don't have any drama on my cheer squad, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, I do feel like it has a lot to do with the girls loving the Lord, you know, knowing how to be good Christian young women, and like reinforcing that with the ideals and the morals of Christianity, and encouraging these young women to, yeah, you know, let their light shine for the Lord, because most importantly, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, that's what really matters. And if we were trying to do something else, then that would be a waste of our time. But we're encouraging the football players, we're encouraging one another, and it's a different world down there in Dixie County, and I'm grateful to be a part of it.
That's awesome, man. Well, look, thank you for taking the time to come over here. I know this was kind of a day off for you a little bit, and I, you know, thank you so much for being willing to come over here and be a part of the podcast. And
well, thanks for having me.
Meet with my amazing wife, which I think you guys are going to wind up being great partners.
So excited, yeah, for it. So excited.
I promise you, she loves dance as probably more than she loves me, to tell the truth.
It's easy to love dance.
Which is probably not very difficult, but but she does love it, and she's passionate about it, and God has given her a lot of giftings in that area, and she's excited about FCA dance. And so thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of the podcast, and thank you more than anything. Thank you for being a woman of God and being a leader and being unashamed of the gospel.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoy sharing.
And you guys be careful on these wet roads.
We'll try to be. I mean, I'm a very bad driver, but I'm really my mom today.
And is all this rain helping tree farmers make more money?
Oh, goodness, yes. So this morning we were actually on the phone, like we were trying to handle some business on the phone today. And with all the water in the woods, it makes our pine values go up. I know this is a Voice in the Wilderness podcast. We've been talking a lot about girly, like cheerleading things, but I'm a farm girl at heart. But yeah, so our pine prices are going up. These are some prices we've never seen before. So I'm really grateful for that. We prayed for rain this weekend. I know probably a lot of people that were down there seeing Hatchie at the Fiddler Crab Festival probably didn't like me for that, but we were praying for rain and we're thankful for it.
Now, see, that's awesome. It's crazy how God works. And when I'm praying about weather and stuff like that, I always say, God, you know what we need.
He sure does.
We don't understand it, but you know what we need. And even when the river is under my porch at my house, which is 35 foot above normal, mm-hmm. I'm saying, God, thank you. Because whatever you're doing, I know you're doing it for the betterment of your children.
Absolutely.
And so, listen, y'all be careful on the way home. Thank you. I look forward to seeing you guys again. I can't wait to take you to camp. And between now and then, we'll be praying specifically for you and your team.
Well, thank you. Go Bears.
All right. See you later.
Thank you for listening to A Voice in the Wilderness podcast with Skipper Hare. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can also learn more about FCA Outdoors by going to fcaod.org. Check out the Woods and Water magazine, which comes out once a month. Skipper writes an exciting article for FCA Outdoors. You can pick them up in most convenience stores in the Southeast region. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel Hare Days-Uncut to follow all the podcasts from Skipper and his friends.